Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we had hoped, we had actually scheduled Pragosh Prabhu, our GBC chairman, to speak today, and he's a wonderful speaker, but he had to leave, so that's why I'm jumping into the breach. And as Prabhupada said to Satsarup Maharaj once, Satsarup Maharaj told him that he was preparing to give a class at a college, and Prabhupada said, it's nice that you prepare, but you should be ready to speak this philosophy at a moment's notice, so all of you should keep that in mind. You should always be prepared to speak when the opportunity arises. So we're continuing our hearing from the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 19, and today's text is 26. Shrutva katham devayani mene prastobham atmanah stri pungsoho sneha vaiklavyat parihasam Nivaritam Shutva Gatam Devayani Mene Prastobam Atmanah Stri Pungso Snehavai Klavyat Parihasam Nivaritam Shutva Gatam Devayani Mene prastopam atmanaha Stri pungso snehavai klavyat Parihasam iveritam Shutva gatang devayani Mene prastopam atmanaha Stri pungso snehavai klavyat Parihasam iveritam. Please sing. Shrutva gatam devayani. Mene prastopam atmanah. Stri pungso sneha vaiklavyat. Parihasam iveritam. Shutva gatang devayani Mene prastopham atmanah Sri pungso sneha vaiklavyat Parihasam iveritam Shutva gatang devayani Mene prastopham atmanah Stri pungso sneha vaiklavyat Parihasam iveritam Shutva gatang devayani Mene prastopham atmanah Stri pungso sneha vaiklavyat Parihasam iveritam, Vaishnavis. Shrutva gatang devayani. Mene prastobam atmanah. Shutva gatam devayani Mene prastopam atmanah Sri pungso sneha vaiklavyat Parihasam iveritam Okay, synonyms Shutva Hearing Gatam The narration. Devayani, Queen Devayani, the wife of Maharaj Yayati, Vene. Understood. Prastobham. Atmanaha. When instructed for her self-realization. Sripung Saho. Between the husband and wife. Snehavai Klavyat. From an exchange of love and affection. Parihasam. A funny joke or story. Eva. Like. Iritam. Spoken. By Maharaj Yayati. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. When Devayani heard Maharaj Yayati's story of the he-goat and she-goat, she understood that this story, which was presented as if a funny joke for entertainment between husband and wife, was intended to awaken her to her constitutional position. Please repeat. When Devayani heard Maharaj Yayati's story of the he-goat and she-goat, she understood that this story, which was presented as if a funny joke for entertainment between husband and wife, was intended to awaken her to her constitutional position. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When one actually awakens from material life, one understands his real position as an eternal servant of Krishna. This is called liberation. Muktir hitvanyata rupam sorupena vivasati. Second canto, chapter 10, text 6. Under the influence of Maya, everyone living in this material world thinks that he is the master of everything. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 27. One thinks that there is no God or controller, and that one is independent and can do anything. This is the material condition, and when one awakens from this ignorance, he is called liberated. Maharaj Yayati had delivered Devayani from the well, and finally, as a dutiful husband, he instructed her with the story about the he-goat and she-goat, and thus delivered her from the misconception of material happiness. Devayani was quite competent to understand her liberated husband, and therefore she decided to follow him as his faithful wife. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschacya Deshatarine. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadate Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishamangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha He Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namosate, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshri, Rishamanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanang Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Dhananda Shri Adwaita Gadan, Harshi Vasati, Gorbhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So yesterday, Vaisheshika Prabhu was stressing, among other things, the importance of hearing Prabhupada's presentation of the Vedic knowledge. Obviously, this is extremely important, but there also has to be a quality to that hearing. Once I was discussing with a younger devotee, about hearing Prabhupada's books, and this person said, well, I have already read Bhagavad Gita 10 times. But based on the lifestyle that the person was living, I could understand that they didn't really hear Bhagavad Gita. At least not Bhagavad Gita as it is. So there has to be a quality to that hearing, and this is what's being mentioned today. Devayani was so advanced and so alert that just by hearing this we could call it an allegory, or those of us who came from the Judeo-Christian background, we could say a parable. She got it right away. She didn't have to hear it 10 million times and then explain what the he-goat was and what the she-goat was and what does that well mean again? And no, she heard it one time and boom, she got it and became determined to follow her husband on the path back to home, back to Godhead. So there has to be a quality to the hearing also, not that we just mechanically read from first verse, first chapter to the last verse of the 18th chapter and nothing really sinks in. That's not really good either. We should really deliberate on what we're hearing and implement it. The difference between Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and all the other Gitas out there is that Prabhupada is making a call to action. And therefore, those of us who are fortunate enough to at least be sane enough to hear that call, we took to it. I know in my own case, I mean, like, there were so many Bhagavad Gitas out there, and one of my pastimes as a youth in New York City was to, you know, read everything that I could get my hands on, go to this esoteric bookstore and that esoteric bookstore and read this and that. But really wasn't getting anywhere. And still, at the end of each day, my conclusion was, where's the party? Where's the good stuff? And, you know, let's have some fun. But once I came across Prabhupada's books, because that call to action was there, you're not this body or spirit soul, find out what your constitutional position is and therefore your constitutional activity. When you are fortunate enough to be alert enough to at least let some of the message sink in, then one begins to act. That is the that is the distinction. That is the demarcation line. If you're hearing, and not acting, then are you really hearing? It's like that story of the guru who comes to visit a bunch of disciples, and so everybody's, Jai Gurudev is here, Jai Gurudev, paying obeisance. Says, okay, so Gurudev says, well, I'll give a lecture this morning, so Jai Gurudev. So then he sits on the Vyasasan, everybody, Jai Gurudev. Then he says, I'd like some water. Everybody's saying, Jai Gurudev. So it repeats again, I would like some water, Jai Gurudev. Nobody moves. So again, what is the use of that type of hearing? It's not hearing, really. If you hear and you don't act, then are you really hearing? So the condition of the materially conditioned soul, is compared to being asleep. It's compared to being asleep. He also mentioned that yesterday about Jeev Jago, Gaur Chandraboli. Lord Chaitanya came to wake us up out of our sleeping condition. In that sleeping condition, we mistake our identity. We think we are a young man, young woman, old woman, and like that, fat, thin, black, white, it's a dream. It's a dream. Just as exactly in a dream at night, sometimes we feel that we're soaring in the sky, we're doing this, we're doing that. And then we wake up and it was all just not real. It seemed very real while you're dreaming. Sometimes the dream is a nightmare. It's not really a dream. Somebody's about to attack you and you're screaming, sweating bullets, and then you wake up and you realize you're safe. So the position of the conditioned soul is like that. We're dreaming, so many things are going on in this material world, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and what about my retirement, and my old days, and this and that, and we're trying to make so many plans, and in the end, it was all a dream. And you're awakened on the material platform, you're awakened by death out of that dream and placed into another dream. But before death comes, this is the whole presentation of Maharaj Jayati here to his wife Devayani, in a joking way, but she got it, that before death comes, let us stop pretending to be he-goats and she-goats and trying to have so much fun in this material world. Let's wake up to the reality of who we really are. We're Krishna's eternal servants, and let's act like that. Act on that platform. Theory is better than nothing. It's better to understand theoretically than to never even come to that conclusion. But better than just theoretical understanding is the practical application. The example I like to use, especially when I speak to students, is about baking a cake. And I just by rote say chocolate cake because I grew up with that. But sometimes people write to me on the internet, we don't need chocolate. Why are you mentioning chocolate cake? All right, so let's say carrot cake. Let's say somebody gives you a recipe for how to make carrot cake. Oscar can relate because he's a cook. And you have that recipe and you look at it and you look at it and you know, you never do anything. So you'll never realize what is carrot cake. But if one day you just say, you know, let me go in the kitchen and there's some carrots here and there's some flour, there's some sugar, there's some raisins. And you whip up a carrot cake. You put it in the oven, 375 for 35 minutes, whatever it is, and then don't forget to offer it. And then you taste it and you say, wow, this is really good. Why did I wait so long to try it? So theoretical knowledge is like that. Yes, theoretically you know how to make carrot cake if you have the recipe, but until you go into the kitchen and put it together, you have not fully realized what is carrot cake. And we know experience also counts. You can give 10 cooks the same recipe and get 10 different results. Right? You give Mother Gunavati a recipe and you'll get, whoa. And then you give maybe some new person the same recipe and you get something, what is this? So again, theoretically understanding spiritual life is like that. And even when you begin to apply it, based on your level of realization, your level of commitment, your level of sincerity, you may get a slightly different result from somebody else. The person who is totally sincere and fully surrendered to Krishna may immediately see Krishna. They may come here and within a couple of days they're already talking to Rukmini Dwarkadish because of their level of sincerity and their full application of the recommended activities to spiritual life. It's like there are so many examples. Who was that great Acharya when he was a boy and the father left and told him to worship the deity, offer the boga. But because he was inexperienced, he was expecting the deity to actually get down off the altar and eat. So he started crying. And my father's going to be upset that you didn't accept. So the deity got down and actually ate because of his sincerity. We know generally Krishna's eating with his eyes. It's not that if he doesn't get down off, Rukmini Dwarkadish don't get down in front of you and eat that they didn't eat. Krishna can eat with his eyes. He can hear with his fingers. Prabhupada said that once in Vrindavan when some devotees were engaged in some not so nice activities. Prabhupada actually said that. He said, you see these two fingers? Krishna's holding the flute, Dwarkadish is holding the flute. He says, these two fingers can see what you're thinking. So we can't fool Krishna. So Krishna's limbs are interchangeable. We sing that. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashyanti panti palyanti siram jaganti. So Krishna's senses are interchangeable. He can hear with his eyes. He can eat with his fingers. He can whatever he wants to do. It's all interchangeable because he's 100% pure spirit. And on the spiritual platform, these things are possible. So depending on our level of sincerity, of commitment, we may not get exactly the same results immediately. And so sometimes people become a little discouraged that I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 5 months, 5 years, 20 years, and I still have not seen Krishna personally, and he's not come and spoken to me personally. Maybe this doesn't work. Let me try something else. No, we stick to the path. We stick to the path, understanding again that we're all covered by different layers or thicknesses of layers of the modes of material nature. And it may take time. It may take time. For someone who's maybe already been practicing, within an instant, they can surrender completely to Krishna and get the full benefit of such full surrender. But for others, it may take a few years, a few decades, maybe even a few lifetimes, depending on our level of commitment, our level of sincerity, how we apply the process. So Devayani was very fortunate. Understandable, she was the daughter of a very great brahmana. Name? Who's Devayani's father? Shukracharya. So, Shukracharya, although we say sometimes that he's more like a seminal guru, but it's definitely a very knowledgeable, highly elevated brahmana. So, to grow up in such a household means that she had access from day one to scriptures and scriptural injunctions, scriptural understandings. Her father was so powerful that he could even create a scriptural injunction. I told a story in a couple of classes back when Kacha went to him to learn the Mritu Sanjeevani, how to revive the dead body. Anyway, long story short, when the demons literally drugged Shukracharya, they gave him this very powerful drink. So in his drug state, you know, they killed Kacha, and it was actually, his ashes were in that drink. And Shukracharya drank this powerful liquor with the ashes of Kacha in it. And so from within his body, Kacha was saying, I'm in here, please let me out. And Shukracharya said, well, but if I let you out, I'm going to die. So Kacha said, well, teach me this Mritu Sanjeevani mantra, and then when you die, I'll come out and revive you. So he did that. And then at that point, Shukracharya made what's called a maryada, A mariada is a change in the way things used to be done. It's a change. So previously, Brahmanas were allowed to, on ceremonial occasions, drink this liquor. But Shukracharya said, from now on, any Brahmana who drinks any liquor on any occasion, they will fall down. That's it. End of rabbinical status. So that was a mariada, a change in the way things were previously done. So, very powerful Brahmana. So she was the daughter of such a powerful Brahmana. And therefore, she had access to this Vedic knowledge. So when she heard this allegory, or a parable as we say, and these parables or allegories are meant to give some instruction, generally one point, just like in Christianity, those of you who came up in the Christian tradition may remember the parable of the prodigal son. That there was a rich man, he had two sons, and one son couldn't wait to go party, so he said, Dad, give me my inheritance now. And the father agreed, he gave him his inheritance, and he left home, and he went out and partied and partied and partied, and frittered it away, and fell into such a bad state that he couldn't even remember who he was, where he came from. Well, whereas the other son stayed home and served the father nicely. And then one friend of the family saw the first son in the gutter and said to him, what are you doing here? You're a son of a rich man, you know. Wake up, go home to your father, he'll take care of you. So he did that. He went back, and the father was so happy to see him that he immediately ordered that a big feast be prepared. And so the son who stayed home was a little bit upset that this rascal left with his inheritance, squandered it. Now he's back and you're celebrating him? What is that? So from our perspective, we can understand the parable even more clearly than they explained it in Christianity. The prodigal son is us, those who voluntarily leave the spiritual world, come to this material world to party, to enjoy, to be a lord, as it's stated here, to try to control everything. But inevitably, it doesn't work because there's already a supreme controller. You know, you cannot become God by studying some yoga practice, by, you know, some self-help book. Or God is already God. There is already one supreme being. Cannot be replaced. Or so the position is already taken. It's not by votes or by your own effort. It can never happen. So when we gradually come to that realization, hopefully, generally we don't without help. So that's where the friend of the family comes in. That's the guru. The guru comes and tells us, wake up, Jeev Jago. You're wasting your time in this material world trying to be in charge, trying to enjoy in this way, that way, on the basis of this body, which is itself temporary. It's just a losing proposition. Wake up. Those who are very, very sharp, like Devayani, they immediately get it, and they start acting in the right way. But some vast majority, they hear it, and it goes over their head, or they hear it, and it seems a little interesting, but not right, quite ready to surrender and follow exactly. And so for everybody's case is different. So depending on your case, your situation, it's going to take more or less time to get it and to come to the point of reaping the benefit of getting it. And the benefit of getting it is, as Devayani is doing here, she's going to follow her husband back to Godhead. So Prabhupada stressed that he has come to take us back to home, back to Godhead. He named his magazine Back to Godhead. So that's what we should really concentrate on. First of all, for ourselves, do I really want to go back to Godhead? Or am I satisfied just dallying here in this material world, trying to get it together to get a few more dollars so I can make another trip here or buy another this or that, or which is what the vast majority of people do, even those who claim to be spiritually motivated. Because they're not fully surrendered to Krishna, maybe they don't even accept that concept. They just think spiritual life means, you know, I don't eat meat or whatever. They have some misguided misconception of what is actual spiritual life. But spiritual life means, very clearly, there's a supreme spirit, you are also spirit. The relationship between the supreme and the small, the vibhu and the anu, is one of service. There's Bhagavan, Prabhupada used to say, stressed many times, there's bhakta, and the relationship between the two is called bhakti. And bhakti means service. We talk about the rasas, but every one of those rasas is based on service. The shantaras, one is appreciating, serving the Lord through just appreciating his greatness. And in the dasyaras, one actually takes up some fixed service to perform for the Lord, just like here in New Dorka, there are so many services to perform every day. It's amazing, huh? like Prabhupada would say, well, there's this building and there's so many other buildings on this block. What's the difference between this building and those other buildings? In this building, service to Krishna is going on nonstop, 24/7, 365. Somebody takes responsibility for dressing the Lord every day. Somebody takes responsibility for cooking every day for the Lord. Somebody takes responsibility for producing books. Somebody takes responsibility for distributing those books. So many services are there. And on a, from mundane vision, it looks the same as what they're doing. Somebody's sitting down at a computer here and other people are sitting down at computers, but the end result is completely different. One person sitting at a computer trying to make money in foreign exchange or something, or trying to write the great American novel so they can make, become famous. And somebody else is sitting down at a computer and producing books about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, for the deliverance of those who are not yet surrendered to Krishna. Superficially, it looks the same, but the end result is completely different. Same thing with singing. Every day, so many people are walking up and down the street singing or going to clubs somewhere to sing, karaoke, whatever. And every day we're also coming here and singing, but the quality of this is not the same. We're singing the holy names of the Lord, generally speaking, following the traditional melodies, raga and tal that have been handed down, not trying to make anything up. And we get one result. The result is that we elevate our own consciousness, and anybody who comes in contact, their consciousness becomes elevated as well. Whereas other people are walking up and down the streets singing some latest pop tune, and after a while, you get sick of it, right? Something comes out as popular for a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, maybe even a year, and then people get tired of it. I don't want to hear that anymore. But because they're still on the material platform, lo and behold, 2 years later, oh, I used to like that song. Let me listen to it again. The same song that they rejected because they got tired of it, now they rediscover it, and it's all nice again. Chewing the tune. That's what goes on in the material world. Simply chewing the tune. Punak. Puna charvata charvanana. Punaha means again. Again and again. Doing the same thing, hoping to get a different result. This is called madness. This is called madness. When you do the same thing over and over again and you hope to get a different result, that is called madness. So we're fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has plucked us out of the mad material whirlpool and has put us on a safe boat that's heading back to the spiritual world. And all we need to do is stay on board. Don't jump overboard. Prabhupada used that example of a ship going from London to New York. Said you may be on that ship going from London to New York and there may be so many problems. Somebody's screaming, somebody's got a little crazy, this, that, the food is not so, whatever. There are so many problems. But the worst thing you can do is jump into the Atlantic. Then you're doomed. You're finished. Stay on the boat, and you're going to get to New York eventually. So similarly, we're on this boat of ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada himself created. And many people have left and thought they're going to create their own boat. And at least from my experience, I've seen that they don't get very far. For a little while, it seems that they're doing something, and they make jokes like ISKCON is gone and this and that. But ISKCON is still here. And they're gone. We've seen so many times. So stay on the ISKCON boat. Doesn't mean there are no problems on this boat, but you work it out. What boat are you going to get on there? You're not going to find any problems. You show me any spiritual organization in this material world that doesn't have any problems. Why do they have problems? Because they're dealing with materially contaminated people. You create an organization that's full of materially contaminated people, and you're going to get problems. It's not that if you leave ISKCON and form some other society, magically those people don't have any problems. No. They're also materially contaminated, and you're going to have problems. But at least we know that Srila Prabhupada has created an organization with very noble purpose. Prabhupada wrote the 7 purposes of ISKCON. We should know them. And if we stick to this ISKCON boat, following Srila Prabhupada's example, we will get to the destination. Guaranteed, Prabhupada, guaranteed. You do things the way I told you to do them, you will get back to Godhead. Guaranteed. So, Devayani is very fortunate. She came from a good enough background that she could hear and understand right away. She was very fortunate to be married to Maharaj Ayati, who, even in a sense gratification, he was doing it in a, you could say, scripturally sanctioned way, and eventually woke up to his real goal in life. To become self-realized, to go back to home, back to Godhead. And he was has just now instructed his wife Devayani. She's accepted those instructions, so they will both go back to home, back to Godhead. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Anant Kirtan Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class. I actually had two questions. The first question was, you were explaining how if, depending on one's sincerity and one's seriousness in practicing Krishna consciousness, that you'll get a different result. And you were saying that if you're sincere, that you can come in, see the deities, and you know they'll interact with you and things like this. But sometimes I have like a doubt in my mind that, you know, even like, even though we hear like Dhruva Maharaj, for example, in 6 months he saw Lord Vishnu, but I have this doubt that, you know, new devotees can't be on like a high platform. But what if one is very new, but he takes things very seriously? Can he like very rapidly advance to a high platform?
But who's new and who's old? If you've taken to this path, that means you accept that you're eternal, and that we've been rotating through different species of life, and we've been born and died so many times. So someone who may seem to be new to you may actually be somebody who's picking up where they left off in a previous lifetime. And we see that. We have experienced that. Personalities come, and within a very short time, they seem to be way advanced. But, and it's not an accident. They're picking up where they left off. It's just like Prabhupada said about these children who are born into ISKCON. It's not an accident that they're born to devotee father, devotee mother. It's not an accident. They've been given a chance to continue where they left off. So, yes, everybody's on a different platform based on where they left off in a previous lifetime. Some people are maybe 1% completed from a previous lifetime. Some people maybe were 85%. Somebody may have gone to the point of bhava, like like Bharat Maharaj. Fell down, became a deer, and then took birth as Judd Bharat. And in that lifetime, he was completely serious not to be deviated by anything or anyone. So externally, he seemed dumb and like an idiot. His brothers treated him like a fool. Just go stay outside all night and guard the fields. You can't do anything else. You're useless. You're supposed to be a brahmana, but you can't even say swaha or go guard the fields all night. So that was what they did for him, did to him. Because they didn't recognize that they had a Mahabhagavat brother. So Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So that's the situation. Somebody may seem like a new person, but they may have been 75% surrendered to Krishna in their previous lifetime. And so now, when they come in, they catch fire immediately. Boom.
What if one is at 0% and he's just starting, but he's completely serious and sincere? Can he be elevated very rapidly?
Yes, he could be. And again, elevation in Krishna consciousness is not necessarily externally visible. We use the example of Srila Prabhupada himself. Many of his godbrothers thought he was a nice devotee, quite learned, etc. But they didn't realize, again, they were dealing with a Mahabhagavat pure devotee of the Lord. Because it's not always externally. So it's not that when you become a pure devotee, some big halo all of a sudden forms over your head. And when you walk down and come into a dark room, the whole place lights up and it's not like that. You can be literally next to a pure devotee of the Lord and not realize it. He could be your brother, just like Judd Bharat and his brothers. He could be your godbrother, like Srila Prabhupada and his godbrothers. Many of them, and these were not, you know, foolish people off the street. They were devotees and they had some advancement in Krishna consciousness, but they didn't realize they were dealing with a Mahabhagavat pure devotee of the Lord. Because again, it's not that your tilak all of a sudden turns golden and stays there permanently. You know, like Dukhi Krishna. It's not always like that. It's not always so obvious that you're dealing with a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, as I've said many, many times, there are two mistakes you can make. You can treat someone who is not a pure devotee like a pure devotee, or you can treat a pure devotee like he's not a pure devotee or she's not a pure devotee. Better to make the first mistake. Where's the harm if you treat someone who's a neophyte like they're a pure devotee? Is there any harm? What have you lost? Nothing. But if you treat a pure devotee like he's not a pure devotee or she's not a pure devotee, then you can commit all kinds of offenses. So it's better to be safe and give all respect to everybody all the time. And that way you don't fall into this trap of misjudging These people think that person is so advanced, but I see this problem, that fault. You know, and then you run the risk of committing offenses. What was the second question?
Okay. You were talking about how Prabhupada put us on the boat of ISKCON and all we have to do is stay on. Well, I heard in a couple classes the statement where Prabhupada said that if you chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regular principles, that you'll surely go back to Godhead. But what if someone does that, but they do it out of, like, mechanical, they're not very sincere about it, but they do it throughout their life, is it still guaranteed?
Practically, you can guarantee that if you follow the four regs every single day and chant 16 rounds every single day, you're going to get some realization. Because after all, you're in contact with the Supreme Lord. He's incarnated in his name. He's the incarnation for this age. He's appeared in his name. All the potencies are there. Nam Namakari Bahuda Nijasara Saktis. All the potencies are there of the Supreme Lord in his name. So if you stay in contact with that name every single day, you're going to make advancement. Krishna is the supreme purifying agent. So the heart is dirty. So if you cheto darpana marjanam, if you keep in contact with the holy name every day, that heart is going to get cleansed. And gradually, your real self will be revealed to you. Your real situation as Krishna's eternal servant. It's not that you're going to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds every day for 40 years and follow the four regs and not make any advancement. That's practically not possible. Then you're not chanting Hare Krishna, you're chanting something else. Because Krishna is completely potent. And if you come in contact with this, like Prabhupada used the example of a urinal in the sun. If a urinal, a totally contaminated place, is exposed to the sun, what happens? The sun does not become contaminated, that place becomes purified. So even the most contaminated person, staying in contact with Krishna day after day, week after week, year after year, they will gradually become purified. Guaranteed. It's going to happen. It may not sometimes happen until the very moment of death. They gradually wake up completely, but it will happen. You cannot stay in touch with Krishna and not become purified. It's like that thief who went to Vrindavan because he heard that Krishna, this beautiful boy, had so many jewels, and he was thinking, if I just can go there and take his jewels, I'll be rich. So he went, and he did. He picked up Krishna and tried to take him, but by coming in contact with Krishna, he became purified. And then in the end, when Krishna said, okay, you can take the jewels, he said, no, I don't want. Because he became purified. So any contact you have with Krishna, through hearing, through chanting, through serving, through remembering, any way you stay in contact with Krishna, you will become purified. Guaranteed. Okay, Granthar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.